Sing the chorus again. Shondell, would you come up and open in prayer, please? I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live. Stand right above. Worship you. I worship you. Thank you.
Father, as we gather here today, we ask that your presence would be with us. We ask that you would lead us and direct this meeting as you will, and that you would speak to our hearts and let us learn and grow from this meeting, Lord. Just be with us and bless us with your Holy Spirit today. Amen.
Wonderful to be together. I'm glad I could lip read the young people as I forgot the words to that song. It's a beautiful piece. Calvary. Oh, the cross. Oh, the salvation that came. Oh, the wonderful resurrection that blew the doors off of death that morning and made a way for us. I'm excited. I think we're If ever we were on the brink of change, it's now. You know, when we gave our hearts to the Lord, we were given eternal life. Amen? But there's something in eternal life that we haven't walked into yet, and that's resurrection life. And that's what's waiting for us as we press in, and He has it for us. On that fateful day on a Friday when Jesus made His way carrying the cross. It was a sad day in many aspects. And the sun turned dark at noon, and for 3 hours, that was no eclipse. I was in Nebraska for the last eclipse, and that lasted for about a minute, just a little more than about 90 seconds. But this was 3 hours. It's an interesting thing how the Jews, from the way I've heard, calculate the beginning of the Sabbath. And there was a Sabbath, including the Passover, that was going to happen. And so what they did was they had people strategically placed throughout Israel, and they would watch in the evening to see when the first star would appear. And the first rabbi to see that star would blow the ram's horn. And then the other rabbis around who heard that, as they were close enough to hear, they would blow till the sound spread throughout Israel in just moments. And that was the announcement, the first star. But that day, in the middle of the day, the stars shone because it was the beginning of something new. Because Jesus died for us there. You know, He paid a great price. Because we learned quite a bit about glory last night. I just enjoyed that so much. I can't put it into words, but it came fresh, the glory that God has that is there between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and His desire to share it with us. And I just think we have the right to be so thrilled and excited to serve Him today. I'd like us to sing At the Cross, page 1, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. F. We'll start with the first verse. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred hymn? See you. Okay, that's one thing that I need to do, maybe we all do, is sing the message. It's easy to sing the words. We love it. It's so familiar. We close the book and sing it. But let's sing the message. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? My Sovereign died. Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I at the cross? Let's sing the message to one another and to the angels and whoever's listening and to God Himself. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? And the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the burden of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for Christ that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing day, grace unknown and love beyond degree. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut His glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. This gadget in my hand, for the sake of this moment, I'm going to call it a phone book. Because I'd like you to turn in your phone book and look for the song At Calvary. Do you know that one? How many know the song a little bit? Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Give me a C. What do you think? Years I spent in vanity. Is that too high? It's okay. Yeah. How are you doing? Did you find that in your phone book? Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. past my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now raptured soul. Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to interrupt just for a moment. I think this next verse is one of the best ever written by human hand under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, praise his name. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. God. You may be seated for just a moment. I'd like us to sing, "Go Ahead, Lord, I Will Follow." Right behind you, "I Will Stay." You know that? "In your glory and your shadow, go ahead, Lord, lead the way." Wayne and Lois, can you help me up here with that? I think you know it a bit. But I've got a request. I'd like all the mums and dads and children to come up to the front while we're starting to sing it. So if you would just come while we start to sing here. Wayne, do you know what key that's in? Do you know what key that's in? Okay. Try a D. Oh, no, we need an F. So would you come now, moms and dads and children, just come right up to the front ahead of the platform here. Preschool and elementary school and babies and Barrett, can you come? Can Barrett come if he's up for it? Oh, if you just stay down there, I have a reason for you staying down there. Go ahead, Lord, I will follow. Right behind you, I will stay. In your glory, in your shadow. Okay, that's a wonderful song, and we want to follow Jesus, don't we, Reuben? It's, your mom and dad want to follow Jesus, so we're saying, "Go ahead, Lord, I will follow." And Peyton, that's what we want, isn't it? Just to follow Jesus. But we also can do that by following Mom and Dad, because they're following Jesus, right, Mom and Dad? So what I'd like us to do is sing it maybe with a little bit more of a marching beat. I'd like you to start to walk around with the children following Mom and Dad or in your arms, and just go around here, and if anybody feels grand, you can join them as they go around. There are grandparents or however you feel, you can join them. But let's make a declaration this morning. Go ahead, Lord, I will follow. So let's go counterclockwise over here. Go ahead, Lord, I will follow. Right behind you, I will stay. In your glory, in your shadow, go ahead, Lord, lead the way. Young people, join them. Go ahead, Lord, I will follow. Right behind you, I will stay. In your glory, in your shadow, go ahead, Lord, lead the way. Go ahead, Lord, I will follow. Right behind you, I will stay. In your glory, in your shadow, go ahead, Lord, lead the way. Go ahead, Lord. Everybody stand. Behind you, I will stay. In your glory, in your shadow, go ahead, Lord, lead the way. Once more, go behind you, I will stay. In your glory, in your shadow, go ahead, Lord, lead. You can be seated now. Go ahead, Lord, I will follow. Right behind you, I will stay. In your glory, in your shadow, God. It is, saints, a very exciting time. Really feel we're on the brink of something that's going to be as, I feel this way, it's going to be as much change for us and more than it was for the children of Israel when they left the wilderness and entered the promised land. The promise is right before us. The promise is right before us. Jesus will come. He'll come again, and glorify his church, just like our brother talked about that glory, transforming us. He knows how to do it. We just yield ourselves to him. Let's sing, "It's a Glorious Salvation, It's a Wonderful Way." That's on page 2. You can stand if you wish. It's a glorious salvation, it's a wonderful way, and God has shed his life upon my pathway. And my way keeps growing brighter, and I want to shout and sing, a creature of eternity, a child of the King. A child of the King, a child of the King. Joy bells ring, and I want to sing forever of salvation full and free. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord for saving me. I used to walk in darkness and my faith was not clear, until the blessed Savior such peace and joy to my heart that day. There's a new creation standing on the earth today. A child of the King, a child of the King, inheritance unfading, oh let the joy bells ring. And I want to sing forever of salvation full and free. Praise the Lord. Saving me. Now I follow ever onward in the kingdom of the Lord, both in salvation's armor, the word of God my sword. And I gaze upon the promised land, praise the Lord and high, the land of milk and honey I see before my eyes. Hallelujah! A child of the King, a child of the King, inheritance unfading, oh let the joy bells ring. And I want to sing forever of salvation full and free. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord for saving me. The Lord speaks softly to me, my son, this is your rest, the realm that I prepare for my chosen rest. And the sons of God shall reign with me throughout eternity, chosen, called, and faithful, and very all you see. A child of the King, a child. Praise God. You know, I think this song is becoming more and more real and relevant to us as we think about gazing upon the promised land. You know what's interesting about the land of milk and honey? As far as I can figure out, the only two foods that you can eat where there's no death involved is milk and honey. Everything else, something has to give its life. We're going into life. Saints, we're going into joy unspeakable and full of glory. And, you know, I have to share with you, Jack says hi from Stony Mountain Prison. He's so full of the Holy Spirit, and he'll call me almost every day or more if he could. I can't call him. It's up to him to call me. And he was just recounting 2 days ago the wonderful glories of his Lord and Savior and just reveling in it. And then he said, Brother Brian, it's just a trickle compared to what we're going to have, you know. And he sends his greetings to you. But it's just thrilling what God has for us. Let's not judge the world by the conditions that it's in. You know, in the time of Jesus, when he was born, it had been 400 years since God had spoken to the nation, but he was speaking to a few. He was speaking to Anna, the prophetess, who stayed in the temple praising God and worshiping day and night till she saw the Son of God. Then there was Simeon. You know, there's people everywhere that God is raising up, and he's raising you up so that we'll all walk together. He knows how to bring us all together. He'll do it because he said he would. And I'll just say one thing. I want to thank you for praying for my mom and dad, and I thank the Lord that they're in glory. And next week, tomorrow, we're having a celebration for my mom. She passed away December 10th, but we're having a celebration next Saturday in Shelbrook for her. And I was thinking about coming to a meeting like this and thinking about how similar it is coming to a meeting like sitting down to a meal. You know, my mom didn't always cook stellar meals. They were all pretty good. But she didn't do a masterpiece every time. But my dad never complained, never made a critical comment. You know, and when we're in the house of the Lord and we're feeding at his table, we need to watch our attitude, that we're not looking for things to criticize. We're just human beings in this meeting. We're like John the Baptist said, what did you come to see? If you came to see mistakes, you'll find lots here. Yeah, we're just pretty ordinary people. But if you're looking for people who want what the Lord has, we pray you'll help us, because we really want to enter in with you. And let's have that attitude of just not being critical, but just feeding on the manna. I'd like to close my time up here. If you'll turn to page 49, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amazing grace. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Oh, do you know what I think I need? I need a sister who can hit some high notes. We have... I see one. Do you have a covering along, Mel? I'd love to have you come up and sing or borrow one. Thank you. Have someone who can hit the high notes, it helps us. There seems to be something in us that when we give that extra effort, it seems that our soul and spirit just get carried away at the same time. Thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. O my people, saith the Lord your God, I am leading the way to you, for you. It is a way that is perfect. Cleanse your hearts today. Do not mingle with the transitory things, nor let them become part of you. But as a soldier, separate yourself. This is a time of great examination. Even as Joshua spoke to the people and said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow I will do mighty things among you. O my people, saith the Lord, my Holy Spirit will sanctify you if you will yield to Him. Do not be compelled by your human spirit, nor by the influence of this age, but be totally separate so that we can walk together as one. Even as the little children follow their parents, follow me, saith the Lord. You do not need to understand to obey, but you can obey, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Imagine or what you can think. Yea, have I not called you to enter into my love? Have I not called you to enter into my grace? Yea, and shall my glory not rise upon you and flow upon you? Shall you not be a bright and shining star? Yea, my people, yield your hearts and lives. Yea, let the love of God overflow you. Yea, let the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ just fill your hearts. Yea, let the Lord's thinking change your thinking. Yea, for His ways are so much higher. Yea, surely His love does rest upon you. Surely He has called you, and surely He has chosen you. But there are many more that He would call, and yea, would He not use you to draw? Yea, my people, let the love of God well up mightily within your heart.
It's shed upon you through the sun, and yea, even in those days of old when I said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might, it was not for me but for you. For surely as you reach out to love me, saith the Lord, the bonds of self shall be broken. Surely as you will see how I humbled myself to behold you and took you from the dunghill and set you with princes, even the prince of princes, my son, through the blood of his shedding and sacrifice. Surely everything of self shall fall away, saith the Lord. No addiction, no focus on those things of yourself can stand before the glory of my love, saith the Lord your God. Yea, open your heart and life unto me, saith the Lord, and I will renew you and bring you into my love that is shared between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, saith the Lord. And you shall flow together in a way you have not known, saith the Lord. And those spiritual things I have given you, saith the Lord, you will not look to be an individual, but you will look to build, you will look to give, you will look to glorify your brother and your sister. You will look to cause your brother and sister to be at liberty, saith the Lord. You shall lose all focus on self, saith the Lord, because you love me with your heart and soul and might and mind, saith the Lord. Oh, let me flow upon you, saith the Lord, and release you, saith the Lord. Let me flow upon you, saith the Lord, and set you free, saith the Lord. Let me flow upon you and bring you to a new light, saith the Lord. A light that cannot be hid, saith the Lord, but shall shine forth even my grace and love to all my creation.
That this is not possible. For yea, have I not put my Holy Spirit within thee, saith the Lord. Yea, that he may show thee things, that he may teach thee things of mine, saith God. Yea, look unto the Lord thy God, for he shall cleanse thee. Hath he not provided a cleansing stream, saith the Lord, that thou mayest be washed? O my people, love one another. For is it not written that love covers a multitude of sins, saith the Lord? Yea, love the Lord thy God with all that you have, saith the Lord. Yea, and ye shall be covered. Love one another, saith the Lord, and ye shall be covered. Yea, for I have come to cover thee, saith the Lord. I have provided that covering for thee. O my people, enter thou into all that I have brought to thee this day, saith the Lord. And thou shalt indeed be covered.
Lord, yea, I do say unto thee that this is a new path that I am leading my people into. My people, I say unto thee, I have been training thee. I have been teaching thee, yea, to be led by my Spirit and to hear my voice. Yea, but I am calling thee up higher that thou might walk with me in perfect love. That my love that I had for the world shall be in thee and shall flow out, yea, unto this dying world. For did not my Father say that I love the world so much I sent my Son, yea, to die for mankind? And yea, have I not said I have given unto thee even that same ministry of reconciliation, yea, to bring mankind unto the Father through me? My people, I say unto thee, are you not the body of Christ? Are you not filled with my Spirit? Am I not teaching thee, yea, even a new way, a simple way? Yea, and that way is love. For love is of the Father, for the Father is love. Let my love be in you. Let my love flow from you that the world may see and know and understand. For this is how I have ordained it. My people, I say unto thee, give yourself fully unto me this day, saith the Lord.
Perhaps some here are not real comfortable prophesying in a large crowd like this, but just get over that today. We'll make room for you. If you feel a bit timid, just give what the Lord has. Let's wait on him. Hallelujah.
you were, and I still do receive you as you are. Yea, I do enfold you, saith the Lord. Yea, in the Old Testament, yea, everything was sanctified. Mostly everything was sanctified by the blood. Yea, and even so now, saith the Lord, yea, as I enfold you, yea, I take you into myself, saith the Lord. Yea, and I do cover, and I do wash, and I do a work of righteousness in you, saith the Lord. Yea, as you yield, yea, as you yield your thinking, saith the Lord. Yea, as you yield your thoughts and your heart and your mind to me. Yea, when my word comes to your heart, yea, yield to it. Yea, and accept it and receive it and let it work in you, a work of my beauty and of my honor, saith thy God.
Within you, I will create a new heart.
Do I not speak life? When you read my word, when you hear my voice as I spoke, as I lived on this earth, did I not speak life? Do you not see life in every word that I said? So now I am speaking life to you. I have brought you aside to speak to you of my life. I would have it flow through you. I would have it flow through my body, for I can do nothing until my body is preaching life, is living life, until my body sees life in everything around them. Then will I be satisfied, and then will my glory descend upon my body, and there will be life forevermore. There will be life for all of creation. Amen.
You've called us to obedience. You've called us to life. Help us to have ears to hear, Lord. Help us to move away from just having prophecy, Lord, to really realizing that we are having God speak to us. Oh, Lord, give us the sobriety that we need, the joy that we need, so that we can soak in what you're saying to us. Help prophecy to never be ordinary, Lord, but to be a part of the miraculous. Speak to our hearts. Give us seriousness when you want to use us as your vessel, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have some prayer requests. I wonder if Stuart York and Dave Heath would come and stand with me and help me with these prayer requests. This is from Harold Amundson, the Prince Albert Assembly, for Ernest Johnston. Please pray for Ernest, who suffers from severe diabetes. Also for his elderly mother, Stella, who is a caregiver. She and Ernest are believers. She also asked for prayer for all her family to come to the Lord. Marjorie and I have had the joy of meeting this mother and son, and we love them. We know the Lord does. Let's pray together and ask God to give him a new pancreas and to help his mom with all of her needs and for her children and grandchildren, her descendants. Lord, we bow together in prayer before you. We know that our words accomplish nothing, but you do everything. Lord, our words are empty unless you are behind them. And so, Lord, we come to you, looking to you for the mighty moving of your Spirit in Ernest and Stella. Heavenly Father, you love their family. You love all of Stella's descendants, Lord. Just touch her family, touch Ernest. Lord, we thank you for the blessing they are in the Prince Albert Local Church. We pray, dear Father, you would continue to help them and strengthen them. Lord, we stand in the name of Jesus against the destruction of the pancreas in anyone in this room, in anyone listening over the internet, and for Ernest. Lord, we lift them up to you in the name of Jesus. We pray, dear Lord, that you would restore by the moving of your Spirit. Lord, you laid your hand on people in the past. Lay your hand on those here who are struggling with type 1, type 2. Make it evaporate, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This request is from James and Marlene Dorn from the church in Winnipeg. Please pray for our brother-in-law, Sam Wirtz. He has been diagnosed with a large tumor on his kidney and will be having surgery soon. Sam knows and loves the Lord. Please pray for a complete healing by God's miraculous power, by whatever means God chooses to use. Please keep Sam's whole family in prayer. He and my sister Liz have 4 children. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the abundance that you give us in the spirit and in the natural. We thank you for families that care about us and that pray for us in every situation that we are in. And we pray for Sam Wirtz today, and we thank you that his family has brought this request to all of us, that we can share in the prayer and bringing it to you. Lord, we just pray that you will guide the doctors and remove this tumor and bring Sam back to full health. Lord, we pray for those children. Help them to strengthen their faith in you through this trial, we pray.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for all that you have brought us through. In Jesus' name, amen.
This request is for Jamie Erb, submitted by Dwayne Olson here in North Battleford. Please pray for Jamie. He wanted to be here with us, but he has a bad chest condition. Please pray for healing and a speedy recovery. Yes. Heavenly Father, Father, we know that your presence is with us. As the body of Christ goes, you go with us. And Father, I lift up our brother Jamie, Lord God. Lord, you know his heart. Father, he wanted to be with us, Lord, but he is with us, Lord, in the Spirit. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you raise Jamie up now. Let him feel your healing touch. Give him peace and comfort, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you quicken his mortal body, for the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Father, I pray that you quicken our brother Jamie and raise him up to newness of life and complete healing. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
This request is from the Park Valley Church. Would you please pray for our dear elder, Irvin Amundson. think this is one of the first feasts that he has ever missed. He will miss you all. We will miss him. His old heart is weak, and something is heavy on his shoulders. I can't quite read it all here, but I think we know what the gist of the request is here. A great legacy in his family. And we thank the Lord for our brother.
And he's watching.
Yes. Father, today we thank you again for all of our families and for all of the support that each and every one gives to one another, that we can be united in you, Lord. And we thank you for our brother and his faithfulness as a father and grandfather, his faithfulness as a church elder, yes, his faithfulness to bring the new song to our hearts.
Yes.
Lord, and we ask that you would raise him up.
Oh, Lord.
Give him strength even now, Lord. Inspire him by your Spirit, Lord, to sing that new song unto you, that he may glorify you and we all may enjoy his ministry in an even greater way. We pray that he will keep singing the praises of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I have a few scriptures I want to read to you this morning. We appreciated the service last night and the moving of the Spirit. And it's a wonderful thing that God has a plan. He has a plan for you, has a plan for me, has a plan for all of creation. I'm going to start with reading Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th verse. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The Bible gives us a quick introduction to why God created us. Brother Luff talked about that briefly last night, about why did God create us. But the important thing is God has a plan. He has a plan. You know, the traditional view that a lot of Christians have even is that God created man, and he did, and he gave them a test, and they failed, and he had to kind of start over, so to speak. But I want to say this. God had a plan, and then he made the man. He didn't make the man, and then he had to make a plan. He had a plan. And ultimately, in this tiny little scripture here, his ultimate plan was to make man in his own image. And when it is all said and done, at some point in time, at some point in the ages, he will have mankind in his image. It is a sure thing. There will be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. It's absolutely certain that will happen. I'm going to jump over here to Isaiah, the second chapter, the first verse. It tells us a little bit about God's plan. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains." Mountains and hills represents governments of the world, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. This is really good news. This is excellent news. Someday, you know, today you read the paper, you watch the news, and all we get is bad news. The greatest nations in the world with democracies, it seems like they always have one arm tied behind their back, because there's always one power, there's one party that's in, and the other party is trying to get the other party that's in out of it. So you're only using half of your resources. Winston Churchill talked about democracy. He said, democracy is the worst possible form of government on the face of the earth, except for all of the others. There is no perfect government. But the day is coming. This is good news. God has a plan. In the age of the kingdom, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established on top of all of the mountains of the world, all of the governments of men, and shall be exalted above all of the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. This is a positive statement. A positive statement. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. He's talking about a glorious hour, a glorious day, the age of the kingdom. This life, this age, God works in age periods, in time periods. This age that you and I live in will someday fade away and will go into the age of the kingdom. There is a coming kingdom. There is a glorious kingdom that is on the horizon. There'll be great darkness before that day of the kingdom. And God is calling, he will establish his kingdom on the face of the earth, as I just read here in Isaiah. But what I get encouragement with this scripture is, this kingdom that we talk about, that we look forward to, the hope that's on the horizon, it's here right now. It's here within our midst. It's like a kingdom that's in the future, and yet in our lives and hearts, it's already being established right now. It's something that will take you right into the kingdom of God. That's such a positive statement. Let's go to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah, the 9th chapter. 5th verse. I love this verse. So everyone reads this verse at Christmas time. For unto us a child is born. We all know that. And then there's a comma. Unto us a child is born. Every Christmas we read this. Tiny little comma on the page. And that comma has been over 2,000 years in that tiny little comma. And this little statement, short little statement, there's been over 2,000 years. For unto us a child is born. There was a baby born, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Comma. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a fully grown, manifested Son of God is given. Not just a baby in a manger, but a true Son of God is given. A full Son of God. And then he says, and the government will be upon his shoulders. There'll come a day when all the governments of the world will be on his shoulders. That's another positive statement. I get joy and peace out of that. Brother Matthew and I were visiting there at the airport about the world and the situation, and he made a statement to me, and I hadn't really thought about it. He said, you know, the age that we live in right now, he said, is there any nation on the face of the earth that really stands up for God? Is there any nation that stands up? We are a Christian nation and proclaims the gospel. America is full of Christians, but we're not a Christian nation. Canada is full of Christians, but you're not a Christian nation. But the day will come when all the governments of men will be upon his shoulders. It is his plan. It will happen. and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, I like it. He doesn't just say there'll be no end to his government. There'll be no end to the increase of his government and his peace. There will be no end. I take great joy in that. It's an expanding kingdom. Someday, it will be an expanding kingdom. Actually, if you look at statistics in the world today, the number of the percentage of the population that is Christian is very, very low. Of the world's population, it's very, very low. It's like 10% of the world's population. It's very low. And yet he says the day will come when the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. It will spread from shore to shore. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is God's plan. This is his plan. And we thank him for that wonderful plan. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to turn to Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 8th verse a little bit here. He says, Daniel, the book of Daniel is such a tremendous book. It gives such tremendous detailed prophecies that were to happen centuries later, and it gives prophecies that still haven't happened to this day. The accuracy of the book of Daniel is absolutely amazing. But I like this verse here. He starts off verse 8 here. I was considering the horns, and this is the false prophet, the Antichrist. We know a little bit about very little about this, and I'll move down here to verse 9. I watched until thrones were put into place, and the Ancient of Days was seated, and a garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, his wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. Moving down to verse 13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and a glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. There's nobody left out. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. That is a very positive statement. Daniel's looking down the road when every man, every woman, all the nations will serve him. These things encourage me. They encourage me. When you look at the darkness that's in the world, when you realize that there's great light coming to the church. When it's all said and done, he will have that glorious church. And we thank the Lord for that. I think I'm going to scoot over here to Isaiah, the 60th chapter a little bit. And it tells us a little bit about what's going to happen in the last days in just a handful of words. And it says this, "Arise and shine." This is like a command given to the church. Brother Brian kind of encouraged us about that day that's coming, the things that God wants to do in the church. Some of the prophecies were along this line. Two words there, arise and shine. That can't happen until the Lord speaks it. He speaks to the church and he says, arise, shine, let your light shine. And then he gives us some information here. He says, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Speaking of that great day again, when the light will come and the glory of the Lord will rise upon the church. That's a tremendous hour, a tremendous day. But then he gives us a picture of what's happening in the world when the light is the greatest in the church. He says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you. When there's darkness in the earth, the Lord is moving with great light. So don't be afraid of the darkness. It can be depressing. But even in the midst of darkness, God is moving by his Holy Spirit in the lives of his people. And his glory will be seen upon you. He goes on to say, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. These are encouraging words, speaking of that wonderful, wonderful coming kingdom of God. I'm going to jump over here, if you will, to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Daniel had, as I said, all these tremendous prophecies, and maybe I'll start at the first verse here a little bit. At that time, Michael stood up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there was a time of trouble, speaking of a coming tribulation, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who's found written in the book. And many, I like this verse here, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. The Bible talks about death quite a bit in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And I like the way it talks about death for a Christian. It refers to it as a sleep. It's just going to sleep. And many of those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. He's speaking of a resurrection. There's a resurrection that is coming. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Speaking of a resurrection. But you, Daniel, set up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And then he gives quite a bit more information there. Verse 9, I like verse 9 here. He says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And I'm going to jump all the way down to verse 13. Speaking to Daniel, Daniel wanted to know more about this vision, and it was told to him that, Daniel, I've given you enough. You're not going to understand anything else. But verse 13 to me is a very encouraging verse. He says, but you, Daniel, he says, you go your way until the end. Here it is again. For you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Now, I get encouragement about that. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We pray over different people, and God gives them different gifts and ministries and a work. But what happens when you die? What is your ministry for? And it appears to me your ministry is far more than just what you do here on earth. God is telling Daniel, I'm reading between the lines here, I got a work for you to do. It's not over yet. You will arise in your inheritance at the end of the days. There is a resurrection. There is a resurrection because of what Jesus did on the cross. There's a resurrection. This is Good Friday. We celebrate the price that Christ paid for us on this day some 2,000 years ago. The resurrection, the crucifixion, the resurrection was a pivot point for all of history, for all of mankind. I'll just read this to you quickly in Job. Job talked about 19, verse 26. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Job was talking about the resurrection. There's life after life. There is life after life, not life after death, life after life. After this life, there's another life. That's the great hope, the great Christian hope of the church. Job talked about it, that after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Job saw the resurrection. He looked down the road and he realized that when this life is over, there's another life. There is life after life. Paul talked to us in 1 Corinthians, and I'll read it to you, 15, verse 22. He gives an example. He said, for as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's a message in itself. As in Adam, how many people die in Adam? All. And even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. That's a mouthful. That is a message. He's talking about something that you and I are only scratching the surface of. He talks about a day when there will be life given to all. To all. Jesus talked about the 100 sheep, and if one goes astray, how you look for that one sheep. I tell you what, if God is interested in 100 sheep, he's not interested in 99, he's interested in 100. He talks about the 10 silver coins, how you lose one and you sweep the house to find that one coin that is lost, and how there's rejoicing in all of heaven over the one sinner that converts. If God is interested in 10 silver coins, he won't be happy with 9. And he says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And then he gives a disclaimer. But each one in his own order. God has an order to everything. He has an order. He has a plan. He has a plan, and then he made the man. First, Christ, the first fruits. And I don't even fully understand what that means. What does first fruits mean? Well, first fruits, a word today, would be a prototype. The first one. The beginning. The first fruits. You know, we celebrate, you don't always realize it, but the first fruits. Jesus was the first fruits of those that are resurrected. We celebrate the first fruits all the time. When you come to church on Sunday morning and you pay your tithe, what are you doing? You're paying the first fruits of your increase during the week. It speaks of the first fruits. Each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those that are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, whom he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. He puts an end to everything. Once again, the governments of men will come to an end someday. When? I don't know. But his kingdom will be established. And there will be a resurrection. There will be a resurrection because of what Jesus did. Because of what he did on the cross. I'm going to read that to you in a moment. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, there's a resurrection. There is a song that you all know here, and I just want to read it to you. A number of you have lost loved ones in the last year. And I won't mention the names because I'll forget someone. This is something that we all put up with and grieve with, is the loss of loved ones. But the Bible tells us to don't grieve as those that have no hope. Paul said, I want to tell you this because I don't want you being ignorant regarding those that are asleep as those that have no hope. That's a wonderful thing to say. We have hope. We have the hope of the resurrection. We have this hope that when we lose a loved one in the Lord, we haven't really lost them. They're asleep in the Lord. And we thank the Lord for that. There's a gentleman named Bart Millard, and pretty much everyone in here knows his song. He grew up with a father. He grew up a Christian. And his father was an abuser. His father would beat him and beat his mother. And he left the home, and he was a Christian, was in a singing group. And then as the years went by, he saw his father come to Christ. And when he came to Christ, he became a new man. The resurrection became alive in his dad. And it changed him. And it transformed him. And he saw the power of God working in his father. And he wrote a song that everyone here knows called I Can Only Imagine. When his father died, he wondered, what's it like? What is it like? What's it like for my dad when he passed away and he went to be with the Lord? What is it like? We just read where the Lord spoke to Daniel and told him, Daniel, I got a job for you to do in the kingdom. And he wrote these words. It only took him 10 minutes to write it. It is the number one Christian single in all of history still. And you all know the words, but I'll just read it to you. Speak thinking of his father, thinking of those that have passed away, thinking of those that are experiencing the resurrection, that are experiencing being in the presence of the Lord because of what Jesus did. And he wrote and said, I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side, I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you, will I be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes. I'm sorry, hit the wrong button here. I can only imagine when that day comes when I find myself standing in the sun, S-O-N. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. You can just see him trying to imagine, what was it like? What is it like? What is it like in the resurrection? What is it like when we stand there before the Lord? Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. It's a very comforting and blessed lyrics because of what Jesus did on the cross. There's a resurrection. Everything pivoted on the cross. All the plans that I'm reading to you about the coming kingdom and about God creating man in his image, none of it would have happened except for one day when Jesus went to the cross. That was the pivot point. That was the thing that had to happen. Jesus had to go to the cross. He had to die on the cross for you and I, for our sins. You all know about the crucifixion, Matthew, the 27th chapter of Matthew, and the events of the resurrection. I'm going to read it quickly, Matthew 27:27. And then the soldiers, the governor, took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and they put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him, and they took the reed, and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him, humiliated him, and beat him. The Roman soldiers, it's not in this particular passage here, it's in the other passages, they beat him with a whip, this little short whip made out of leather with pieces of lead tied to the end of it. And the Romans were experts at beating someone with this whip where they could bring him to the point of blood loss, to the point of death, and yet not die. He went through that. And as they went out, verse 32, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink of it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. What's so amazing about that short little verse there? In Psalms 22, you'll find a detailed description of Christ being crucified on the cross. It even describes them casting lots for his clothing while Jesus is on the cross. This is in Psalms 22. What's interesting about that? Psalms 22 is written centuries before this event happened. What's even more amazing about that? Psalms 22 is written centuries before the cross was invented. And he gives detail of Jesus hanging on the cross, saying, "I thirst," saying that he was forsaken by God, and the soldiers gambling for his, casting lots for his garment. It's all there in Psalms 22. They offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. When they crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and they kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Back then, they would take a sign if you were a murderer, and they would put a sign at the top of the cross, your name and what you did. This is Charlie Smith. I hope there's no Charlie Smiths in here. This is Charlie Smith. He's a murderer. This is John Jacobs. He's a thief. But when they put a sign over Jesus that said, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews," they were right about that. And then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right, one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." So the chief priests with the scribes and the elders, they mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. And another passage, it talks about the two thieves, and I appreciate that story, how one thief looked to him and said, "You know, if you're the Lord, get us off the cross." And the other thief said, "You know, you and I deserve exactly what we're getting. We deserve to be on this cross. You and I deserve to be on the cross." But the thief said, "This is an innocent man." And then he said something interesting. He looked to the Lord hanging on the cross. He said, "Lord," he didn't even know what to say. He didn't know how to pray the sinner's prayer. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Jew. He just said this, "Lord, will you just remember me when you come into your kingdom? That's all I'm asking. Just think of me." He didn't even know what to ask for. He couldn't even say, "Lord, can you save me somehow?" And Jesus said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." What a glorious thing to say to the thief on the cross who had no theology. He couldn't recite the sinner's prayer. He couldn't be baptized in water. He didn't even have the right words. He said, "Lord, will you just remember me?" And Jesus said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." And I think of our loved ones. We have no idea what it's like when they close their eyes with the sleep of death. Does Jesus come and say, "Today, right now, you will be with me in paradise"? That's why Paul said, "I'm writing to you that you don't grieve as others who have no hope." We have a great hope. I remember Dr. Jeremiah talked about when he was a chaplain in a hospital. He would be called and would be sent to different rooms when people would lose loved ones. And as a chaplain at a hospital, you don't know who you're going to face. You have no idea if these people know the Lord or if they don't know the Lord when you're sent to a room. And he said when he would walk into a room, he would instinctively know who knew the Lord and who didn't. You would walk into one room and people would have devastating loss. Some would take their heads and actually bang them on the floor because they lost everything in a loved one. And others, they would go there and there would be tears of sorrow, and yet there would be a peace because they didn't sorrow as those that have no hope, because they knew the resurrection. They knew the resurrection. They didn't sorrow as those that have no hope. And now the sixth hour, he stood there for 6 hours. He hung on the cross for 6 hours, slowly suffocating to death. There was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's in Psalms 22 as well. And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge. He filled it with sour wine and he put it on a reed and he gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Verse 51. Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. In the temple of God, in the temple that was a primary piece of influence throughout the Old Testament. It was a place where you would go and meet God. There was the holiest of holies, where only the high priest could go in once a year. I can imagine what it was like back then. The high priest would go in, and if you knew the high priest, you would probably pull him aside and say, you know, when you go into the presence of God, when you go into the Holy of Holies, would you say some prayers for me and my family? Would you do that on our behalf? Because you're only going in there once. I can't go in there, but when you go in there, can you pray for us? And this Holy of Holies has got this thick 2-inch curtain. Suddenly, when Jesus is crucified, it's torn. It's ripped in two significantly from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top, but from heaven to earth. The curtain is ripped in two, signifying that you and I, all of us, your children, your grandchildren, can now enter the Holy of Holies, not through some other high priest, but through Jesus Christ, our high priest. Suddenly, you and I, and those that had no access to the Holy of Holies, those that had no access to that wonderful holy anointing and presence of God, the veil is ripped from top to bottom, and you and I can go in any time we want. And this, I like this. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. That's all it says. That's all the Bible says about this little event. This is what I see in my mind. If you ever go to a fancy restaurant, my wife and I don't. If you ever go to one, they bring you out samples. We go to places where our breakfast costs us $1 and we get free coffee. And they give no samples. But if you ever go to a fancy place, they bring out samples. Samples of what is to come. Jesus. When he went into the cross, when he went into the tomb, when he was crucified, that life was so strong that he sent out some samples to the city of what he was going to do. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep that were raised. There's no other record of this other than what I'm reading to you here. I often wondered, what was that like? We have no idea. What was that like? I can picture a Jewish family at home eating dinner. And someone knocks on the door and you open up the door and there's grandma. There's grandpa. Someone you haven't seen for a long time. What? What are you doing here? Well, someone set me free. I don't know what happened. I was just sleeping. I was resting. And someone woke me up. And all I know is, here I am. It was a sample. It was a sample of the resurrection. It was a sample. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe, and they said, truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there, looking on from a distance. I want to tell you something. God loves men and women. God loves women and men. He doesn't choose one over the other. We're all different. We all have different roles to play. But he doesn't prefer one over the other. The first people to see the risen Christ were women. They were the first people that he revealed himself to. He's an equal opportunity revealer and blesser. And we thank God for that. And there were many women who, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And you know all the story, the rest of the story about this, how he was crucified and laid in the tomb, and they went to the tomb looking for him, and how they found the angel standing there, and the angel said, you know, who are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus. Well, he's not here. He's risen just as he said he was going to do. He did it. He's not here. He's alive. He's alive. There's a lot of great famous people, Buddha, Prophet Muhammad, you name it, all over the world where you can go and to the tomb of this prophet, the tomb of this great philosopher. You can go to those tombs where they're buried, and as a memorial, there's no tomb. There's no tomb where Jesus is buried. There's an empty tomb. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem where you can go, where they believe it may have been the tomb, but there's nobody there. As the song goes, we sing, we serve a risen Savior. So many things we don't understand. Jesus said, God said that he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he said. He's the God of the living, not the dead. I take great joy in that. When I think of our loved ones that are gone, he's their God. He's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. I think of that verse when he said that. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I can say Beverly Joanne Snoke was my mother. Beverly Snoke was my mother. I can't say she is my mother because she's not here, but she was my mother. God didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I am now there with me. The resurrection, because of the resurrection. When Jesus stood on the cross, there were seven things that he said. You have to go through the different gospels to piece them together. His seven last words. Luke 23:34 said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This speaks of his forgiveness for all of us. Luke 23:43 said, Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise, speaking to the thief. That speaks of salvation that he brings to us. John 19:26, he said, Woman, looking to his mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. This speaks of relationship. Even on the cross, he wanted to make sure that his mother was taken care of. Matthew 27:46 says, my God, this is what he said, why have you forsaken me? This speaks of abandonment. There are times in the human experience, for whatever the reason, you will feel abandoned by God. But you're not. Even Jesus on the cross said, why hast thou forsaken me? Now there's another reason that he said that. And I believe it's because Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, for a few moments, for 6 hours on that cross, in essence, became the most sinful person in the world. He wasn't sinful. But all of the sin, think of it, all of the sin of the past histories and people that have died, the present and the future sins of mankind, including you and I, were on him for 6 hours as he offered that sacrifice to God. And for a moment, God had to turn his back. He couldn't look at sin. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This speaks of abandonment. And then he said, I thirst. This speaks of distress. Jesus, all of the emotions, all of the anguish that you and I may go through, Jesus went through it. Physical thirst. And then he said the famous words, it is finished, from the Greek word tetelestai, which is translated as accomplished or as complete. This speaks of triumph. And the last thing he said was, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. This speaks of reunion. I'm going to read this last, so I'm going to close. Jesus said, it is finished. Because of that pivot point, when he said it is finished, that allowed the plan of God to be fulfilled and to move forward and to be fulfilled. It had to take place. Jesus hung on the cross. He said, tetelestai, which is translated, it is finished. Tetelestai, a Greek word meaning paid in full. It's also translated, it is finished or it is complete. Business documents unearthed from the days of Christ would often show a bill with the word tetelestai written across the top, meaning this bill has been paid in full. It is finished. There's no more debt to be paid. There's only two times that this word is used in the New Testament, John 19:28, and then we thank the Lord that is finished. Then when he received the sour wine, Jesus said, "It is finished, tetelestai," and he bowed his head and he gave up the spirit. Those that heard those words ring through the air from our suffering Christ must have been very familiar with that term, tetelestai. It is finished. It is complete. It is paid in full. There is no more debt. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All of creation, past, present, and future, were affected by those three powerful words, "It is finished," tetelestai. It is finished. You can almost visualize the angels falling before the throne in celestial awe of those magnificent words. This grand moment in time, this was a pivot point that made salvation available to all of creation. It is finished. God planned for this very moment from before the foundation of the world. All of God's plans for the creation, for the kingdom, for the eternities beyond the eternities, all pivoted on that great payment of sin when Jesus exclaimed, "Tetelestai, it is finished." There's a song that we enjoy. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace all day long. My Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He signed the deed with his atoning blood. He ever lives to make his promise good. Should all the host of hell assail to make a second claim, they'll all march back at the mention of his name. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen." And he said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Tetelestai. It is finished. God has a plan in place for all of creation, for all of the ages. As far as he is concerned in his mind and will, it is finished. God bless you. Brother Brian, maybe you can come up and close, and those who have announcements, feel free to come up. Announcement to you. May the 24th and the 27th, we've advertised this a little bit, we haven't very heavily. In Colorado, we have a Colorado Adventure 2019. This is Memorial Day weekend, starts Friday night, May 24th through Monday morning, Monday noon, May 27th. This is located up in the mountains of Colorado. Beautiful site. What this is all about, we don't call it a singles, but the primary focus is for singles, primarily for single adults. We have a few married people there as well. It's always been on my heart from time to time to have something special for singles, adult singles. We occasionally have marriage enrichment weekends. We have young people's meetings, but we don't really have a single event, so to speak. And we wanted to have a time where we can minister to the adult singles that God has called, and that's what this is all about. We'll put more information out there. If you're interested in coming, please let us know so we can make a place for you. Thank you.
I'll go next, seeing we're talking about camps. This year, the Edmonton Assembly is hosting the Young People's May Long Retreat. There are some forms that need to be filled out, which are at the back table, at the back of the tabernacle. There's a basic sign-up sheet. If you could just put down your name, just follow the instructions on the sheet if you plan on coming. But there's also some registration forms that need to be filled out. Might be some things your parents have to sign. So if you could just take a look at those forms, and if we could take care of a lot of that this weekend, that would help us out. And especially that sign-up form, it gets us some numbers so we can start doing some more specific planning. The camp that we have booked is called Salem Acres Bible Camp. It's about, well, I don't know if you know where this is. It's smack between the middle of, between Big Valley, Alberta, and Elnora, I think it's called. It's about 35 minutes east of Stettler, I think. Anyone can confirm that? So you can Google it. There's a bunch of forms in the back. So if you could take a look at those this weekend, the earlier the better. Fill out the forms and maybe just clip them to the back, and then we can gather them up at the end of the weekend. Thank you.
This is just a reminder for those that are helping for the after service snack tonight. I think we've got Regina and Edmonton that will be helping, and we just need about three people from Edmonton, as I think we've got about three people from Regina as well. Reminder.
I'll just repeat some announcements that I had made last night because more people have arrived. There's a brochure available at the registration desk that has information about the camp and times and map and a few other things. If you're unfamiliar, if you're new, you just need a little reminder, pick one of those up. We can always make more. The playroom, a bit of a work in progress. For the time being, like a temporary solution that we've come up with is an area underneath the cloud room. If your kids are a little bit rangy during the service and you feel they need to get out, there's a speaker over there so you can still listen to the meeting. Preference is that everybody's here, but if that's not possible, that's been made available. Dwayne just made mention to me that this afternoon in a couple of the buildings, he and Dan Medina are going to be testing some fire alarms to make sure that they're working, and we appreciate that. But if you hear them go off, don't be alarmed. Unless people are running away quickly from the building, then do that too. The noon meal will be at 12:15, which is 20 minutes from now. So that gives you an opportunity if you want to go get changed and come back. We, because of the way that the meal line is set up now, we will default to the kitchen's readiness. And they say that that will be at about 12:15, and we're going to target that. We have made some trays available for those who need to carry more than one person's plate with them back to the table. We'd ask that you just restrict the use of the trays to that need, because we don't have, we're trying to pare back as much as possible the volunteer needs in the kitchen, in the dining room. So if you do use a tray, we ask that you take it to your table. And then after the meal is done, take the tray and your dirty dishes to the dirty dish drop-off place. And that's it for me.
Just to add to Darren's announcement for the kitchen, one of the great things that makes these camps so great is the home-cooked food that we get from the volunteers, and then of course we need volunteers to help serve, and make sure everything runs smoothly through the food line. So we do have the sign-up table, a new sign-up sign-up list, just on the left-hand side of the piano as you're coming down close to the food line. So we appreciate the folks from Alberta who are here today are able to sign up to make sure we get all those spots filled. With these new efficiencies, we're down to about 20 people per meal that are required. And so there's still several positions for lunch today that are that we need filled, and for supper tonight. And then tomorrow, for all the folks that are able to sign up as well, better to sign up sooner if you can so the supervisors know that we've got a full contingent of people that are coming. Thanks very much.
This is for the children 12 and under and your parents. Plan to meet in the cloud room at 2 o'clock. As well, would all the a parent or parents of preschoolers just quickly meet up here right after the meeting, please? So parents of preschoolers and the rest at 2 o'clock in the cloud room.
The seniors will meet again at 3 o'clock today, as well as tomorrow, for a time of fellowship and tea and coffee. The age group for seniors is probably those that can remember the old dining hall. If you can remember that, you're a senior. You're welcome. All are welcome. See you there.
This is just a message from Dave Levson. Since we couldn't do the rocket launch at summer camp, the Lord willing and the prevailing winds not too strong, we will launch rockets tomorrow at 3 p.m. That's Saturday. All those that built a rocket or that helped out can come see Dave Levson today at 4:30 to see the rockets and final repair prep at the cloud room. Thank you.